Hello, thanks for joining us for Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Jennifer Stagg. One thing that we're talking about this month is finding hope and overcoming depression. So previously on Mormon Channel, we sat down with Rob and Amy Staley, who deals with depression, and I want to share some of what they said about depression and dealing with this type of mental illness. And Amy discusses her personal depression triggers, how she recognizes it, and what she does to bring light into her life. So go ahead and listen in.
Amy did all she could as a teenager to balance those dark moments with a positive attitude. Amy married Robert Staley in 1990 and over the course of 20 years has found herself the busy wife of a dentist, mother of four, member of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and full-time student. In the early years of their marriage, Rob, serving in the Navy at the time while in dental school, began to see patterns in Amy's mood swings. Amy was not officially diagnosed with clinical depression and generalized anxiety disorder until after their fourth child was born in 2002. Over the years, Amy has learned skills to help with the battles that arise with depression and anxiety. Some of Amy's siblings have been diagnosed with depression and anxiety, including her brother, who sadly took his own life in 2005. Other relatives have been diagnosed with a similar depression, confirming the genetic connection. Recently, two of Amy and Rob's children have been diagnosed with depression, resulting in the hospitalization of one. Amy and Rob join us today to discuss depression and how the gospel can give strength to those who suffer. Welcome to Enduring It Well, Rob and Amy.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
Thanks for having us, Bill.
Amy, when did you first realize that you might be depressed?
My issues with mental illness began early in my childhood as anxiety. As a child, I was afraid of absolutely everything, and I spent a lot of time being obsessed with fears that I couldn't control. As I became a teenager, my anxiety stayed about the same, but then my feelings of depression came into play, and they were situational feelings. I felt relatively content until my family moved away from my childhood home.
So do you think that might have triggered it a bit?
Absolutely. Many times depression is situational, meaning there are triggers that in our environment that send us in a downward spiral, if you will.
And up to that point, you had never experienced anything like this.
I had experienced some feelings of depression, but I don't think they were outside of the normal realms of what a teenager or a young woman might feel normally.
And how old were you when you moved and when this sort of triggered?
I was a junior in high school. I was 16. And my depression came in full force at that time. I remember that being the worst year of growing up. I was very sad.
And tell us what that was like to have that hit. Describe for us the feelings you have felt in that depression.
Well, feelings of depression change. You don't always experience the same thing with each bout of depression. And I haven't quite figured out what exactly changes the symptoms for me. And of course, it's different for everyone. But for me, I know I'm in a hole, as we put it in our family, when I am unable to make decisions or concentrate. I don't feel like speaking to anyone. That's known as isolating. And it's a very common thing that people with depression do. They isolate themselves.
And let me ask you this, Amy, because obviously as we discuss this today, we'll learn some of the things that happened to you and some of the ways that you got through this and are getting through this. But at the time when you were feeling it and you didn't have things to label it or you didn't understand it fully what it was, how did you feel when you were isolated? And how did you feel when you were in those moments and you didn't know what it was? Was that frightening in any way?
When you are going through a very deep depression, you feel alone. Part of that comes from the other feelings that accompany depression. For example, usually depressives feel worthless. They feel very hopeless. They don't feel like anyone is going to be able to understand what they're going through, and so they tend to internalize and not discuss it with anyone else. That's where the feelings of isolation come in.
And do you, at that moment, do you feel vulnerable at all?
Yes, you feel very vulnerable, which is another reason that you don't discuss it.
Ah, from watching Amy and the girls having to deal with their depression, it's interesting because there are some telltale signs that they don't recognize at the beginning. And I think that it's because they want to feel normal. They want to chalk it up to perhaps it's just a chemical imbalance. Perhaps it's even hormonal. I should feel normal, but right now I'm not. And I'm going to wait till maybe the storm blows over to see if it's something more. And so I don't know if I would say that there's safety in it, but I think there's a feeling of wanting to be normal and not wanting to sometimes jump to conclusions about that those feelings are dangerous to have. And I think that's how it begins. And there is some danger in that because those feelings, if they're not addressed in some way, whether by the individual or by those around, then become deeper.
I see. Okay. And so, Amy, tell us then, again, you went through this, and it was a discovery period as much as anything else. You had to kind of discover what you were going through, and eventually you were able to get some help. Were you ever told to snap out of it, so to speak, to, you know, treat it as if somehow or other you were sort of choosing to be depressed?
Absolutely. Depression was not something that was ever discussed back in the day. You know, this was 25 years ago that we're talking about when I first started noticing my feelings of depression. Unfortunately, the stigma that surrounds mental illness is still so pervasive. That's actually part of the reason people never admit to being depressed, because they are treated as though it's something that they are choosing. When I first spoke to anyone besides my husband and my parents about how I felt, it was our bishop in our married student ward. He was a physician and so was trained to spot symptoms of all kinds of diseases. He asked about my spiritual well-being. That's the first question that he asked. And having found that to be in order, he suggested that I go to my family doctor and discuss treatment for depression.
That's interesting because right there, your bishop, who, you know, loves you and cares about you, but as a physician was able to separate those two things.
We have been told that we need to succor one another in our needs, in our afflictions. When we see someone who may be suffering from depression, there is somewhat of a knee-jerk reaction to believe that their depression is caused by a lack of living gospel principles. And luckily for us, our bishop, being a physician, understood that once the spiritual aspects were in order, you know, the scripture reading, the fasting, the praying, the temple attendance, okay, those things are in place in your life, and those should help you to be able to deal with the trials that you have in front of you. And yet they're not. And so therefore, your way of perceiving the Spirit's help may be blocked by some physical ailment. But that was the beginning of a good place for us because it was finally, there was some relief in knowing that it's not for lack of living the commandments. It's not for lack of application.
Amy, as you were going through this, you are a positive person. Anybody that knows you knows that that's really one of your beautiful strengths, is your positive attitude. What did you do when you got in those dark moments? What did you do to balance that darkness?
I believe that people have more control over how depression affects them than they think that they do. I'm not saying that everyone needs, and in a way, that's kind of like me saying, hey, everybody, snap out of it. That's not what I mean. What I mean is a person needs to find and figure out how they're going to cope with the way that depression affects them. For me personally, if I'm feeling very down, still to this day, I isolate, which is not good, unless I'm forced to think outside of how I'm feeling. I stay busy. I'm in school. I'm in the choir. I go to choir. That always is uplifting to me. I go to church. Sometimes I have to absolutely force myself to go out of the home in order to accomplish things, but I always feel better after I do.
And I would say, in addition, treating the underlying chemical imbalance from the medical standpoint, that has to be addressed as well. And speak with a qualified professional that can make a suggestion about how to restore some balance. But medication is not the only solution. You can't expect to take that pill and not work on, or that medication and not work on a coping mechanism, a strategy, because it's more than just that chemical imbalance.
How important is it to seek the proper medical attention? How important is that, and what did you find as you did that?
I wasn't officially diagnosed with depression and generalized anxiety disorder until after the birth of my fourth child in 2002. Mm. So that was the first time I had ever gone to seek professional medical help.
Definitely some neat insight into depression and what someone who deals with depression faces on a regular basis. So from this clip, we learn that depression really isn't a choice, but rather a real mental illness with a lot of heartbreak and heartache surrounding it. So you can listen to the full hour of this interview on the Mormon Channel under the Enduring It Well series, and that's episode 41, if you'd like to check out the whole thing. Well, an unknown author said, sometimes you have to get knocked down lower than you've ever been to stand up taller than you ever were. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Jennifer Stagg. Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.